Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
You're passionate, dude? Like, of the Christ?
No. Don't. Oh, well, speaking of which.
Sound of Freedom.
Can we do Sound of Freedom on the show?
I really want to watch that shit, dude.
I cannot fucking contain myself. That's I want to see it so bad.
We're going to remove... we're going to rearrange some stuff in the slate.
Yeah, we'll just be the Sound of Freedom podcast.
Oh, from here on out?
Yeah.
The Minute Each Podcast.
We'll talk about a different aspect.
Well, then nobody, we're above reproach at that point. Once we've reviewed the Sound of Freedom and been positive on it, like we...
Let's review the Sound of Freedom.
Nobody can touch us.
You know, I just discovered this movie because of the Discord like yesterday. I didn't know about this
thing. It's causing quite the hullabaloo.
It's the best, dude. But there's like... There's all this controversy about the theaters being empty, even though they're sold out and all this stuff. It's wild,
and people making up that they got fired from AMC because they wouldn't put nanotech in people's fucking...
It's so fucking stupid, it is my favorite thing. And Jim Caviezel's out here doing his thing.
Yeah. It just needs Kevin Sorbo.
And it's awesome. Yeah.
No, and meanwhile, the reviews for it are actually like not bad. So that's why now I'm like, as an exercise... In something. I need to watch the movie.
Just an exercise.
Am I able to see this movie apart from all this noise?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I want to.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Podcast 389. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
And this is Ree. Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going well.
We've now become a Sound of Freedom podcast. If you are deep state, we don't want to see you.
I want to see the deep state.
I want to see it, but if you're part of it, I don't want to know you.
Dude, what, you don't believe
is
in
that
the
how
deep
it works?
State? That's how it works. Because you either you're either if you believe the deep state exists in any capacity, you obviously like Trump and are a Christian fanatic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's just how you feel. It's a great psyop.
It's how you reason conspiracy theories because
You know what was a conspiracy theory? The Manhattan Project.
Exactly. Oh, that was
because they would never keep secrets, you know, and they'd never be able to keep secrets. Oh,
wait a second.
I mean, come on.
The Trinity Test is the Sound of Freedom.
Holy shit! Wow. Is it a coincidence? You know, both in theaters at the same time. Right?
Nah.
I don't think so.
None coincidence.
But how are you, Jorge?
I'm pretty good.
Are we going to have a barbecue on Saturday?
We are. I think I was going to ask you what time your gentleman wanted. Like noonish would work.
My whole schedule's open for it.
Yeah, let's do peak fucking ultraviolet.
I mean, let's ask Sophia because we don't want
to. Sophia works on Saturdays. I've already talked to her about it.
Motherfucker. Till what time?
Until like 5.
We can start late.
No, but I mean, she might stop by after.
That's what I mean. We can start kind of.
She might stop by.
We can start like mid afternoon, and then like just hang out. We doing good.
Yeah, we go into the summer hot summer nights, right?
I don't know what that is.
nothing. It's nothing.
The pool is warm. The hot tub is popping, so you can do whatever you want.
You
want
to make an Eddie Murphy hot tub joke from Saturday Night Live?
No.
Okay.
But anywho, yeah, we're gonna do a thing on Saturday. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'll bring some vegan meat substitutes that Perfect. You guys will try out and be like, wow, this is trash.
I don't know, it could be good. The kids like
the Impossible ones?
The Impossible Burgers, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So they're down.
Good on them kids.
Get them in public school though.
That's right. So we got stuff to report that we watched, but before that, Jacob, anything you want to tell our listeners?
Jacob?
There's only one thing on my mind, and it's Oppenheimer.
Oppenschleimenstein.
Tomorrow, me, you, 70 millimeter, It's going to be fucking crazy.
You're going to the same show time, right?
Coincidentally, yeah. We're in the same theater.
9:45.
Where are you sitting?
Good question.
He's in the sweet spot, dude.
The sweet spot. No, but it's like off center in the
front row.
The middle.
You're that front row guy for this movie?
No, nah. I'm like the towards the bottom of the
yeah.
Where the bar is.
Where the bar is. That's where I go to.
And off center because I can't look at something dead on without my neck hurting now. So I have to be like on the left side for some reason.
I always go right now. My go to seat is bar aisle.
Yeah,
I get
aisle.
Yeah, because that way I get to.
That's
like
actually leave my exact spot with Courtney.
I get to go out as quickly as I want.
That's fucked.
Yeah, that's the exact.
That's a moral failing on your part.
That's the exact row that
I do.
That's the exact row.
Well, he likes yellow starburst, man. And
oh fuck!
So come on, now you've lumped yourself in with someone.
Damn. Yellow starburst guy.
Yeah.
Shit.
They were always wondering if Oppie was a communist, and now we have to wonder if we like yellow starburst.
And now we have proof.
Yeah.
But anywho, yeah, that's going to be, I'm excited for it.
Me too.
I mean, I have to wait a couple days, but I will get there.
You're going Sunday?
Yes.
With who? The Ronenstein? Mm-hmm. Where are the kitties going?
She has zero fucking interest in it.
What?
Just from the standpoint of like, historically she.
Damn. That's going to be me the whole movie though. Yeah.
Historically she's interested, but I don't think like we watched Tenet together and she's like, same director? Hmm.
Don't that's not the sell.
I'm just kidding. But anywho, yeah. So that's
Prestige, Memento, Dark Knight.
You ready to see his cock? IMAX.
I'm ready to see everybody's cock.
Yeah. I'm ready to see Florence Pugh in IMAX.
I'd like to see her cock.
Riding his cock. And that's in it. That is in it. Dicks out, gentlemen.
Dicks out.
This incel energy for you. Some old school. No, is it?
You got to check the boxes.
Okay, we got to see where we're going to after this.
Okay. So we all have Oppenheimer on the brain.
Yep.
What'd you watch this week?
Let's see. We finished the Bear season 2.
They just had the whole season
the
up
whole
there
thing,
on Hulu?
Yeah, the whole thing was dropped. Pretty good. There is one episode that is kind of hard to sit through because of the awkward.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Overall, I'd say the season has like higher highs and sometimes lower lows in terms of like quality and pace and everything. So I would call it pretty much on par with the first season. The ending is fucking heartbreaking, and it's wild. So I highly recommended season 2. It did not disappoint.
But it's just about like a restaurant.
Dude, it's just about like I've worked in restaurants before, so I can't watch a movie about restaurants
like that. Yeah, that's a good callback. So it's good. I mean, I
quite like it. It's a great show.
Yeah,
it's a great show. There's a lot of talk about like work in or excellence in work that I.
Jesus Christ!
I'm gonna do the thing that I identify with in terms of like having a high standard of
brainwashed
like work ethic, right?
The owners have brainwashed.
But ultimately, too. I see the I see it as a bit of a farce. Yeah.
You have a standard, a personal standard.
Yeah,
but you're able to identify it also as cuckery
exactly.
of the highest order.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
What else can you do when you're you know self aware?
You just gotta excel at everything you do, and that's all you can do.
Right. Just fucking fap till you die.
Yep. Let's see. I rewatched RoboCop 2. What a treat.
You told us a little bit about, quite a bit about it in the pre-show, but.
What a treat. Every 5 minutes, something awesome is happening.
Can we do it?
Of course.
I would love that. Yeah.
RoboCop, and it's the more horror-y of the two, right?
Just three scenes in that movie are more horror-y than
it's very comic booky.
Yeah,
like it feels more Frank Miller than you know the first movie.
And Irvin Kershner directed that. He did Empire Strikes Back and RoboCop 2.
That's pretty fantastic.
Shit. Weird, huh?
What do you think walking in here today, seeing Phantom Menace on the TV?
You know what? Once the shock. You saw what happened. I sat down.
Yeah.
Because that's what I mean. Like, we had this talk recently.
You're like a moth to a flame.
Dude, I can't stop once it's on. It's the audiovisual experience of Phantom Menace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the ultimate stimming experience.
And it's a fucking terrible movie, dude. Like, how is it going for you upon rewatch?
Just look, again, it's one of the... Because we're going through the whole... We're starting from...
It's so bad.
We're going from the start. I'm forcing the kids to watch all of the movies.
That shit was funny when... Your kids like were like really focused, and then they started talking about midichlorians, and then you're like, "Wait, what?"
Well, no, they're
fucking noped out.
They're cool with that stuff because I explained it to them.
Yeah.
Yep. But when we get to the Senate and all that stuff, they're so like, "Wait, so why?" So
that is,
yeah, tariffs or
dude, it's even in the opening crawl.
It's awful. It's
like the Trade Federation, blah blah blah. I remember reading that in the theater, like, this is immediately concerning, mm-hmm. right? What, I don't care about fucking trade disputes.
A trade blockade with the fucking Trade Federation, the
Japanese aliens,
and I'm trying to be like, yeah, kids, you know, like they didn't want Naboo to have food, so they're. And they're like, okay, cool, but where's the lightsabers at?
One of the biggest defenses people who back the fucking prequels too, particularly episode one, is they're like, well, dude, you got to remember it's made for kids. Yes, kids love fucking trade disputes. Definitely. And midichlorians.
Yeah, and Senate hearings. And
what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Get to Darth Maul, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then I watched a little film that you gentlemen loved.
Mm.
Covenant, finally.
Oh!
All I can say is...
The Covenant.
All I can say is the AC-130 scene was one of the coolest things I've ever fucking seen in a film.
The bridge.
Can you explain to
holy non-shit
gun people like myself? Well, that's the bridge at the end.
It's the gunship basically. So that gunship basically is capable of
hailing bullets from heaven.
Yeah,
the sound of freedom.
And extremely precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but so I did a little bit of a military guy deep dive after this, and a lot of like Green Berets watching this movie and being like, yeah, it's pretty accurate. You know, they wouldn't salute them. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right. Okay. It's good. We're good.
What, how did you feel about I don't want to call it a twist, but when the movie changes directions midway through?
Ahmed as a character,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Wasn't it?
The moment they killed off that squad, it got so good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Well, because it subverts your expectations.
The formula goes bye-bye.
Yeah, it's fantastic. He's carrying him with a cart through the desert.
And the music.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm in the theater, and I told Sophia, I'm like, this is cinema. And it's like, just fucking smack me. But yeah, it was like, I was very mystified. Yeah.
And then I went through a military movie sort of.
Oh man, what'd you follow it up with?
So I went Hurt Locker.
Okay.
I cannot, like, when Hurt Locker is anywhere near me, I have to watch it.
I like Bigelow stuff, dude. I like
just tension after tension.
And it's like this neutrality too. She's not like, it's not like pro or it's like, no, this is a thing that happens and let's look at it.
Yeah.
You know,
I like it. I don't care. People are like, oh, fucking bomb squad guy would not be able to fucking handle a 50 cal sniper rifle. I'm like, I don't care. It's good.
The filmmaking's fucking great. And it feels very, very gritty. And
well, also it wasn't immersive. The bomb squad guy with the 50 cal. It was.
Well, she's also very good at like showing, not telling. Like she doesn't have a lot of it literally, right? Like it, the situation is telling you stuff. She tells you a lot without a lot of dialogue.
Yep. You know? And then I went on and watched Saving Private Ryan, which is always, that last scene is always so fucking awful for me. The Jewish guy. Where the Jewish guy's getting fucking knifed in the heart, and it's just like every fucking time I watch that, I can't. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's just the man versus man thing.
Yeah, man.
When it comes down to it.
And then I finished it up with Jarhead.
The little rat face.
Which
guy.
Is a weird little movie. Have you guys seen Jarhead?
I never watched fucking Gyllenhaal.
Never watched
Jarhead.
It.
Sam Mendes.
It's fucking weird, man. So it's kind of like Three Kings in the sense that the pace is super weird and the cinematography is pretty frenetic.
Yeah.
But it deals with a lot of the nitty gritty shit of military life, like, you know,
the mundanity of it, right?
The Jodies and this and that. It's that's a crazy film.
That's what I had read about it, was that, you know, the idea was they're expecting to get out there and be like, you know, rah rah, and then it was like they're fucking bored.
They're sitting in oil fields for, you know,
exactly
hours, it's just and hours desolate and, hours.
And yeah. fucking empty.
But yeah, I went through a little military movie kick. It was awesome.
Hell yeah.
All right. And you also watched, what else did you watch here?
I think that was it.
Are you sure?
I think that was it.
Are you sure?
I probably watched some other things, but, you know.
You watched a film called Vivarium.
Oh, shit.
What'd you think of that movie?
That shit was trash.
Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots, is that correct?
Yeah, Imogen Poots, who is trying her best.
Oh, they both try their best.
Jesse Eisenberg sucks.
He's fallen into the same thing every time type deal.
He sucks.
Oh, that's mean.
He sucks. He needs to stop.
But he was a good Lex Luthor.
Psych! But yeah, no, that movie was terrible.
Yeah. Like, my experience with it when I watched it a couple years back was it got to its punchline at around 30 minutes.
And then that was...
And I'm like, and now what?
Yeah.
And it's mindfuck, so I'm like, oh, I love mindfuck. No, it's bad. It's like, bad mindfuck is bad.
Even the scenes with the kid, where he's... I know it's supposed to be surreal, and it's supposed to be this, like, alien child.
I don't remember if he does that.
He does, dude. And then he does the dog thing, And I'm watching this.
Okay.
And I'm sitting right next to Ronnie, and my wife, God bless her, she goes, what the fuck are we watching? I go, I don't...
We're watching fucking trash.
We're watching trash, baby. Buckle up. So yeah,
but it's suburban hellscape.
Oh,
dude.
It's so good, dude!
The repetition is the point, dude.
I would kill to have a house like that. It's a great house.
Mm. Okay.
All right. All right. So what did I see? I saw Pirates of the Caribbean: Curse of the Black Pearl in theaters.
What? Like,
Disney is doing a
what?
That hurts my feelings, man.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was in theaters. It had like a Disney 100-year anniversary.
Pero por qué?
That is Courtney. Just being a dick. Courtney wanted to see it.
I am surprised, but I'm just being a dick also.
I don't mind the first one. I don't like any of the sequels. The CGI is cool and all that, but the first one, I had a good time. I like the score, the soundtrack.
Don't say that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No. Hey, at this table, you don't speak like that.
Gore Verbinski.
I'm not saying like the fifth one is like the best of the series or anything.
I actually think the fifth is one of the better movies of 20 years.
Three out of five stars.
No. I saw Pirates, and then...
It is objectively better than that.
Yes,
true. Any of them are objectively better than that. That's fucked up. All right.
In preparation for tomorrow, I watched three fucking Oppenheimer documentaries.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot, actually. I feel like there's a lot of people that already know all about Oppenheimer.
I'm listening to the American Prometheus, the Oppenschleimenstein audiobook that was used as the template or... major thing for the movie, and it's a hugely interesting story, not just about him, but about the time and the place and all the intersecting stuff. But like, one thing about the guy is he was like most physicists, thank you. You know, he was really well versed in literature, and he liked mysticism, and they said he treated the Bhagavad Gita.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's why he quoted that when the fucking shit went down later.
Man,
yeah,
the post interviews are like,
it's fucking, you open the gate to hell, bro.
Yeah.
I almost said Siddhartha.
Yeah, he learned Sanskrit from a dude. He loved fucking like really hard tasks and all that. But
To piggyback, Veritasium also released a video about Oppenheimer, which is fantastically produced for a YouTube video. It's worth a watch.
Okay. Well, that's next. Yeah, I watched one from 1965, one from, I think, like Jesus. 1995, narrated by William Shatner. And then the best one is called To End All War, The Story of Oppenheimer. It's on, like, Peacock and, I think, Hulu. And Christopher Nolan's interviewed in it, and it's probably the most modern, you know, take on it.
I'm sorry, who?
Christopher Nolan.
Oh!
Okay. I watched that, and I watched two movies that you also saw in theaters. Fucking one of them we saw.
He was. Yeah, we got to talk about this.
He was.
This is a tag team.
He was in town. The Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau.
Double feature: The Room and Big Shark.
What'd you okay, well, yeah. What'd you think of Big Shark? This is the debut in San Diego, the new one. Yeah.
This was like my 13th time seeing The Room in theaters.
It's fucking amazing!
And it's great. It never gets old. But holy shit, they should have saved Big Shark as the second feature because, like, that's all I care about now. That Big Shark has it. It's like Oppenheimer and then like Big Shark.
If I may,
shut the fuck up, both of you guys.
If I may,
I hate your guts.
If I may, I completely fucking concur with what he's saying.
Look, dude, man.
We've been through the looking glass with The Room for 20 years now, right?
Yeah.
He's a millionaire off The fucking Room being a terrible movie.
Just in theaters alone, like the
and posts, the marketing and all this stuff. Like, I bought some boxers, Wiseau boxers.
Same here. Yeah.
And fucking, it's fantastic. Here's the concern, though. How do you follow that up? And once you do, you're going to be self-aware. So are you going to try to make a bad movie? How are you going to, like, recapture the fucking... How are you going to put the lightning
back in the bottle?
Yeah, because once it's out, it's just going to be some Sharknado 4 type deal, you know? And here's the thing. The guy is not just fucking Tommy Wiseau, but he's a literal eccentric. And the movie was fucking hilarious and very singularly so. Like, there's bad movies... Like, the way this is bad is so specific and so magical, like, only he could make it. He is a literal fucking, I'm trying to, like, not sound sarcastic.
I don't think anyone's going to believe us.
It's a terrible movie, and it's a fucking amazing terrible movie. It's because only he could make it. Only he could fucking make this shit, dude.
I've never experienced anything like this in my life in theaters. It was fucking that crazy, dude. I mean,
so skeptical. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's going to be fucking nowhere near as good as The Room.
Yeah. The editing is so bonkers in that shit. Like the
bonkers.
Like the cloud clapping on and off and is so abrupt and the singing and when everyone just started naturally singing along.
There's a part where these characters sing and we all just started singing with them. And then he's at the end, he's like, I didn't think there would be singing. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knew there was gonna be fucking singing. So if anything, he's more dangerous now that he knows. He knows what to do. He's learned. He's studied for 20 years of viewing of his room.
He's like a velociraptor. He's constantly testing the edges of his fence.
This shit's fucking hilarious, dude. It was absurd. That's the word here. Like, it is top tier absurdity. Like, besides being a shit movie, like, the absurd thing is off the fucking charts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And then. Next up, I saw, I rewatched Mission Impossible Fallout in preparation for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, which you also saw.
I did.
And you could chime in here. I enjoyed it, and I agree with what you were telling me over text. I don't think it's as good as Fallout, but there are some sequences that are just unbelievably just well-crafted, just layers of tension. You know, they invented this whole, like, ticking time bomb type of theme, you know, around different, you know, scenes. And they just get really inventive with it every movie, you know? Like, I was like, where's the ticking time bomb in this? Like, how do you beat the nuke at the end of Fallout?
And this one, the stakes,
they do it in such a crafty way, only in, like, the first third of the movie, actually, surprisingly enough. They kind of pull that out of the hat and kind of... get it out of the way, but it was really well done. And then you got this fucking epic 40-minute, like 35-minute train sequence at the end. Mm-hmm. That is, I didn't know when it was going to end. It just, the stakes get higher and higher, and the thing even opens with the crazy jump.
Motorcycle jump.
Awesome. But you did have a criticism about that and about some of his stunts, and I agree. A lot of hype for it. Like, I almost enjoyed the behind the scenes shit
more than the actual video movie. Where you see him doing it like three or four or five, six times.
If you're like a movie junkie for this stuff like myself and like Jake, just speaking for myself, I'd watch that making of thing a few times. I saw it a couple times in theaters And it's longer. That making of thing is longer, obviously, than the actual scene.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And they did it better showcasing his stunts in Fallout. Like when he learned how to fly a helicopter for that chase scene, you see when the bars in the aspect ratio change and it's IMAX, and it's like you're not even watching the movie. You're just watching Tom Cruise like do piloting a crazy
fucking
stunt.
And that
was magical. I wish it had that. It didn't so much. It was just a kind of a straight thriller.
I'm in agreement with you. Like, I think it was great and at times really fucking great. Like, the airport sequence, the train sequence at the end is one of the fucking best of the franchise. I really like what they did with the villain aspect here. I don't want to, like, spoil it, but it's stuff we've seen in other movies, but not in this franchise.
Talking about the entity? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That, I thought that works fucking a lot better than... If I had read that on paper without seeing the movie, I don't know that... It works a lot better than you would think.
Yeah.
I think so.
It adds a lot of paranoia.
And how it's erasing people in real time from the camera. Like, that was fucking... That's very... It's this good mixture of, like, super old-fashioned, because we're talking about shit that worked 100 years ago in movies.
Yeah.
Train wrecks and fucking masks, you know? But also extremely, like, cutting-edge modern, you know? And you're
still pulling it off. I mean, like two and Mission Impossible 2 and 3, like, the mask shit was terrible. Yeah. I remember it was overdone. But
Part 2 was ridiculous.
Yeah, but they're making it fun again. It's enjoyable.
But the first 30 minutes for me were pretty clunky. And it's
submarine sequence? Yeah.
Well, yeah, and just the dialogue of the expo. When the exposition happens with Cary Elwes, anytime fucking Robin Hood Men in Tights is on, and I don't dislike the actor, anytime he's giving an exposition dump, the movie grinds to a fucking halt for me. And I'm like, okay, dude. Like, come on. But... it was really good.
Okay.
It was really good.
And let's see. And then last I saw was a little documentary. It'll tie into what we're reviewing, but I watched a little documentary called The Devil and Father Amort, which I will just save for our main discussion.
Jesus Christ. All right. Sweet.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Before we move on to what you watched, let's do a little Diablo talk.
Okay.
Season 1 starts tomorrow.
Did you beat the game yet?
Not yet. I'll do it in time. I'll have plenty of fun. I'm right at the end there.
Tonight at midnight.
Yeah.
You got to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, holy shit, man. Blizzard is fucking this game up. They're like murdering their player base. Patch, hotfix, update after patch, hotfix, update. It's nuts. Like, they've made the game less enjoyable after
as time goes on.
They realize we didn't create enough content for the players because they don't realize they're kind of spoiling the game too. All these sweats, all these hardcore players with no lives just gaming for hundreds of hours.
Yeah, the people that are no-lifing it.
Yeah, and because of them, they're like, we have to slow down everything in this game and make it harder for everyone because these people are just going through all of our shit. So they've just made the game just a grind and a grind to the point where I'm fucking playing Diablo 3 again or Vampire Survivors or whatever. Anything to give me a power trip where I'm like decimating hundreds of enemies at once instead of just like hitting these enemies 100 times trying to kill them, you know? And I'm still a Diablo fan at heart and I'll play this new season. I'm going to enjoy it, but I hope they listen to the fans because they're really not listening. It's kind of fucked.
Yeah, and it's weird too. I don't understand why they are what they're doing with this just drowning us in mechanics. There's the heart thing and
a lot of convoluted shit too.
There's stuff that you can do in the season for free, and then there's like you've got skulls that you're fucking gonna use to buy chips in this season, this thing,
and then you got to start all over when you do a season. You don't get to use your existing character. You're gonna have to start from level one.
Which I'm okay with, honestly. Yeah. I mean,
that was normal for Diablo, so that's,
I'm a Fortnite boy, so I can understand those things.
Yeah,
it's just you're gonna mechanic us to death, dude. And they're basically making gems and skulls useless again because it's just weird shit.
Yeah, they're gonna go down the path of exile, which is like for hardcore gamers only. It's like the most anti-casual game of that type of genre, the action RPGs. They're gonna lose their player base fast because like Path of Exile, it's like this free-to-play overstuffed just game that's like fuck. I don't know if you've seen the skill tree for it. But it's like fucking, I don't know, it's the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. And it's like, it just scares any new players. And I think Diablo might go in that direction.
So Diablo is going into the shit.
Diablo, yeah. Diablos.
Diablos.
Now owned by Microsoft.
Now owned by Microsoft.
What?
$65 billion deal. Microsoft bought Activision / Blizzard.
Jeez. Next thing you know, they'll be pumping nanotech into you guys for playing Diablo, bro. Oh,
that'd be tight.
Oh.
Can they do that?
Gang, gang.
Gang, gang.
What? Uh-oh.
Gang, gang. I'm out. Ice cream's good. Gang, gang. Oh, ice cream's good.
Okay.
There you go. Fuck. I put my list away. Okay.
Oh, no.
So, The Meg 2 is coming out. And sometimes you're in the mood to watch something. We don't use, like, the R word because it's a mean word. We never did on this show. We never used the R word. The one with slow people.
Requel?
In music, when you want to slow down.
Retardando.
Retardando. We don't use retardando here.
Giovanni Ribisi.
But if I did that I would call that movie retardando. Right? If I used that. And I would use the musical term to. It slows down. It doesn't slow down. The movie seems like it's made by people who are slowed down. Right? So, and it knows it. The movie is fucking, I mean, gosh, that movie's trash, dude. And
The Meg.
And it was fun. And then, so about an hour and 10 minutes through it, it gets to a point in the movie where like Sophia's like, oh, that's it? And I'm like, no, there's still 40 minutes. And she's like, what? What else does he do? And I'm like, it goes full like Fast and Furious with this guy and the shark, you know, because if you throw Jason Statham with a fucking spear against a Meg, the Meg's got a serious problem. You know what I mean? But so we watched that, and then that prompted me to revisit Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, brilliant.
It's like the same fucking movie, but it's not the same movie, but there are many, many similarities. And yeah, that movie is aged poorly. I mean, it was bad when it came out.
I was a little heartbroken. I wanted to show Courtney that. I was like, this movie was the fucking shit. I can't wait to watch this with you. And I'm watching it, and it took us like 3 days to finish it.
And then you're like, fucking slow, dude. Shit.
I know. I was really heartbroken. That was one of those movies you don't want to... If you're listening and you watch that movie when it first came out and loved it, like, don't revisit it. Just enjoy it while you can in your memory, in your rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah, especially the Sam Jackson scene where, you know, that was one of the great fucking
Had it with these motherfucking sharks on this
pretty close
motherfucking sub.
Meg 2 has a scene that looks like it's like an homage to that. So
As it should. Yeah. And Meg 2 is directed by, of all people, Ben Wheatley, who did recently In the Earth, but also Kill List. And High Rise, but Kill List, fucking, we're a long way from Kill List.
He's doing the Adam Wingard thing with Kong versus Godzilla.
He's like, I need to pay off my house.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe he'd do like some super R-rated Meg 2, like if they let him. Also, what? Did the studio not let him do that? Like, fucking, they're not making money on R-rated movies? Like, I don't get why they're still doing that. But anyway, I know kids want to see it.
The children.
Yeah. Oh, Nimona. Have you guys heard about this?
Never have I ever.
No. It's an animated movie. It's on Netflix. Had great reviews over and over again.
Oh, that one, yeah.
It was great. It's one of my favorite things I've seen this year, honestly. I would have loved to see it in a theater. It's got like the whole hero's journey deal, but it of course subverts it and subverts your expectations, but in a very good way. It's got openly gay characters in it, even though it's an animated movie, and it's like, oh, so what? So it's woke? It's like, no, it's not woke.
No, it doesn't.
Just because it has people that aren't straight, like actual life.
They just do it right. I have a lot of friends, queer community, they're like, this is what we want. This is like how it needs to be portrayed.
It's
just
so natural.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's fucking, it's great in that regard. But everything else about is great. The animation is great. The story is good. The action's good. The ideas are really inventive. It's based on a book, so I'd highly recommend that. That's on Netflix. And then I watched new series on HBO Max called Last Call. Speaking of that, there's a serial killer. It's a docuseries, and it only does one episode per week, which I kind of dig, because otherwise I would have just fucking binged the whole thing. It's only two episodes in. If you want to get started on it, it's on HBO Max, and it was about a serial killer who was killing off members of the gay community in New York in the early 80s. And guess who didn't give a fuck about it? The cops. So it's really interesting for the socio-political aspect of it.
And, you know, this is a lot of these guys that were getting killed. They were like, they were husbands and family men who were moonlighting secretly because they were gay. And this guy was like picking off dudes like that. So that's an interesting angle. So that's on there. So besides gay stuff, what? I like it. Well, no, I watched another gay thing. Mommy Dearest. I'd never seen Mommy Dearest, and drag queens fucking love that movie because they love to have the most outlandish portrayal of Faye Dunaway's performance. Have you guys seen that movie?
No.
I have always heard about it, and we know the no wire hanger thing. The whole fucking movie is insane. It's one of the most uncomfortable things I gotta say I've probably ever seen. Her performance is like cranked to 11 the whole fucking time. And I'm not even saying it's bad. It's like way over the top. But it's like the movie itself isn't that great, but it's fucking, it was great to finally watch just as a novelty watch. But her performance, Faye Dunaway is fucking insane in that movie. And most people have seen it, like they're listening to this probably.
Yeah.
I had never seen it. But I agreed to watch that if Sophia agreed to watch The Deer Hunter. And because I did rewatch The Deer Hunter for the first time since I've been in the last 10 years or so. And it was Sunday night before, like, you know, when you get like the
Sun. Oh, the Sabbath.
You know when you get the Sunday scale.
The sleepy Sundays.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, I want to chill before Monday. So I decided, let's chill and watch The Deer Hunter.
Deer Hunter and chill?
The fucking movie.
Damn.
It's a 5-star movie, dude. Like, and also the cinematography and shit like that.
You get like 2 fucking movies, you know, in it's one.
Fucking like, but I woke up the next morning with a Deer Hunter hangover. I was like, I don't feel good. I don't feel good about most of life.
Yeah. That's me with like Killing Fields. Yeah, I just
it's a great fucking movie though, dude.
Yeah.
Everyone in that, and young Christopher Walken and of course De Niro, and yeah. What else? Oh, we saw Joyride in the theater.
I wanted to see that.
Like, yeah.
The chicks, not Paul Walker.
The best one?
I never saw that.
It's fucking, it's great.
I think J.J. Abrams wrote that or some shit.
It's fucking great.
I've heard it's great.
Candy cane.
Are we gonna do it on the show?
We could do. We could Joyride.
Oof.
God damn.
This is the one I watched was these Asian ladies on a trip, and it's a comedy, and it's like a raunchy girl movie comedy, like Bridesmaids, but Asian. And it was fucking pretty funny. And it's, I mean, I can't really say, I don't want to give hyperbole, but I haven't seen anything that funny just as a comedy in a theater this year. It does what a lot of comedies do. The last 30 minutes, it kind of runs out of energy. And then, like, we got to tie up all the loose ends and everyone's good, you know, and all that stuff. A little
heartfelt.
That whole thing.
You can only have so much shitting in a sink.
You can only have so much 2 girls, 1 cup before you got to get to the sentimental stuff.
Right. Before they have to make up at the end for their transgressions and, you know.
All that shit.
All of that stuff.
And all of that predictable stuff happened.
There you go.
But I had a good time on the way. And I don't want to forget something here. I don't want to forget. I think that's it.
Past Lives. You see that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you,
man. I was like, there's another Asian movie you
didn't
saw.
I talk about that on the last show?
Was it?
I think I did.
Oh, you did, actually. Yeah. I asked if you cried or not.
Past Lives. I'm watching Asian stuff, gay stuff. I asked
if you cried.
I'm woke because Asians exist.
There you go.
Asians exist, therefore woke. Idiots!
Mark Wahlberg would not be happy.
No. Yeah, I read it was a user review.
He's way too prayed up for
a
that.
A user review of fucking Joyride was that it was offensive woke garbage. So not only, they used to be pissed because woke people were getting offended by stuff, but now you can be offensive and woke at the same
That's
time.
That's fucking dope, dude.
Yeah, I don't think they
That
even,
means we've done it.
We've done it. We're there. We have arrived.
Yeah.
They're offended now.
They're offended so by they're our woke. Offensive wokeness.
And when I saw the movie...
Oh, so we reflected the wokeness back to them.
It's just fucking hall of mirrors.
Oh, and I'm watching
the
movie.
What were they offended by? The full snatch shot? Like, okay, what that these women existed? The Asians existed?
Women's
that,
exist.
There's a threesome.
Therefore woke.
Therefore woke.
That's just all
women
it.
Women complained about their previous boyfriends. Therefore woke.
Woke. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, funny movie.
Women complain, therefore woke.
Well, women talking is a whole different
thing. Oh, just women talking in general. That's wokeness.
Oh, damn. That movie, no fun.
All right. Cool. We're going to take a quick break and talk about more movies. Yay.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to...
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, the Who Goes Their Podcast watched... Well, actually, let me back up 1 second.
Yeah, back it up.
Who Goes Their Podcast watched patreon.com/ Who Goes Their Podcast. And can you explain that?
Patreon.com.
www.patreon.com/
Who Goes Their Podcast is where you can become a member of our Patreon. As a member of the Patreon, you are privy to exclusive content, such as the stuff at the beginning of this episode and other episodes. We will also be doing new Patreon exclusive episodes shortly. we also want to like send you some stickers and shit. We got to get all that stuff worked out. And then there's the Christmas card, and you get the episodes early, and you help us do the show, which costs several $1,000s a month out of our pocket to do. Does it? And then, oh, we have a new Patreon member.
We already, I believe we talked about.
We did not talk about the lady friend, did we?
I think we did.
Gabby?
Oh, yes. Welcome again then, Gabby.
Welcome again. You get a twofer.
There yes. you go. That's right, we did. And how she came into the Discord and said, nope.
Yeah, she dipped her toe in and was like, nah, like, fam, that's not for me.
I'm not safe here. Bye. I don't feel safe. That's a joke. It's the same kind of joke we always do.
Yeah. She just needed to see that Ashley was there and, you know, it would have been okay.
For sure.
Because Ashley's dope as hell.
Got to be right time, right
place. Dude, Ashley's in there just fucking like, ha ha, fuck you, idiot.
And I'm
like,
Ashley and Mary. And yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and Gabby now. Yeah.
And Gabby.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Well, the Who Goes Their Podcast Watch 2023 is The Pope's Exorcist, directed by Julius Avery, written by Michael Petroni, Evan Spiliotopoulos, Greek fella, R. Dean McCreary, starring Russell Crowe, Daniel Zavato, and Alex Esso, and a bunch of other people. Demi Lovato. Can you fucking believe it? She was in this movie after her breakdown.
As a man. No?
Go on.
Pero por qué? I don't know. I thought you mentioned a man's name, so figured that was her alias.
Well... The Pope's Exorcist is a little film that talks about exorcism, obviously. And here's the IMDb synopsis. Follow Gabriele Amorte, the Vatican's leading exorcist, as he investigates the possession of a child and uncovers a conspiracy the Vatican has tried to keep secret.
The Vatican and their fucking conspiracies. Telling you.
Okay.
You have some decisions to make.
I really do. Because I wanted to hate this movie. And I do.
Nah.
But I also kind of fucking love it, man. It's...
Yeah!
It's lovable trash.
Absolutely. It's junk food.
This is incredible from minute one, dude. This fucking pig exorcism scene is... Un-fucking believable.
Jump in the pig. Yeah. Shoot the pig.
Go in the pig!
Just... The moment you hear his accent, you're like... Oh,
the accents in this film are all over the fucking place. Why? We're in Italy.
Mm.
And we're in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's motherfuckers speaking with accents that are unfathomable. Russell Crowe... being the lead
exorcist
infiltrator in this accent debauchery.
First it was Love and Thunder, and now he's here.
It is.
And before that we had fucking Unhinged.
Yeah.
Which was
But I will say this. There are, despite the stupidity of this movie, there are some really artfully shot scenes. Yes. There are some really cool gore effects, which I think are pretty well done.
Yeah.
There are some aspects of exorcisms that have not been done in previous exorcism films, which I appreciate that we can
we can explore the space a little bit more. I was kind of surprised with the competence in these scenes. I was really kind of taken aback by Amorte. Anywho, that's... Yeah. I can't wait to talk about this film because it's trash, but also I'm kind of fucking impressed by some of it.
I'm impressed by this trash as well.
Yeah, it's
I enjoyed the trash.
I couldn't believe... I wish I saw it in theaters, you know, watching at home, because it was something about it. And I'm reading all these critic reviews and a lot of people are saying the same thing. Like, something weird about this movie kind of wants you to just keep watching. Yeah. And, you know, I can't wait for the other 199 other sequels, you know, of him vanquishing fallen angels. It's not even scary. It's just a weird exorcism procedural with this whole, and the whole backdrop of it being like inspired by true events is fucking
crazy.
Crazy. And I watched the real thing, this documentary directed by none other than William Friedkin from Exorcist.
That's fucking dope.
And he, you know, this movie was inspired by real life exorcisms, and Father Mort came to William Friedkin and said, "I am a huge fan of The Exorcist, blah, blah, blah." And he said, "Okay, can I sit in on one of your exorcisms and make a documentary about it?" And he made this fucking insane, not good, it's almost like a glorified DVD extra, 90-minute documentary of a real life, the first ever recorded exorcism. And he sat in like real time with Father Mort and did and recorded an exorcism. And it is the fucking most boring and hilarious shit I've ever seen.
It was a little less eventful than what we saw in this movie.
It doesn't quite work like that. Is what you're saying?
I'm thankful for this movie because the real shit is nuts.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, Rhett, because we got stuff to talk about.
So yeah, like everyone else at this table and many others, I was skeptical. Like, Russell Crowe works for the Vatican as an exorcist. Holy shit, that's going to be funny. And it is. It's also pretty competent with other stuff, like production design. Like, seriously, the catacomb stuff.
Some of the sound design
is very competent. And it is trash. It is junk food. But also, it does benefit greatly also from the presence of a bona fide... I'm going to say it again because we're not in full-on unhinged territory here. He's a movie star. And in this movie, it reminds you, Russell Crowe, I'm sorry, he has a good screen presence still. And he's wearing a big fucking black robe, which helps because he's a big dude now, man. He's a big dude, and it's fine for this.
Big dude, whiskey drinking, fucking Italian exorcist.
Kind of a rogue amongst the Vatican. Yeah, like it's
flirting
it's,
with nuns. Doing cuckoo.
He's on a Vespa. They got a scene with him on a Vespa, and
he rides for like 1,400 miles.
We care a lot.
Way.
Dude, Faith No More.
Faith No More's on. Vespa, that's what I'm like.
I couldn't. The fucking music choices in this film were unfucking believable.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I keep going, man, because I want you to finish up with your thoughts.
So yeah, I think the weakest aspect of the movie is all the other stuff besides Russell Crowe.
Right? That's
funny. Production design and Russell Crowe, very strong. I like the lore. Obviously, like you said, inspired by a true story. Like, sure, like fucking
yeah,
very okay, very heightened reality here. Like, The Conjuring was also inspired by a true story, and as outlandish as that is compared to what occurred, this is times 10, like, obviously, right? But I agree with Jorge too. There's some good imaginative gore effects. And
the blood lady at the end, I thought was
the blood lady scene is fucking cool, and how she exploded and very competently done. It didn't look like CGI.
Full of surprises like that. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, so I was like, you know, and one thing to just point out right in the beginning, it's the same director as Overlord, which I remember Jorge liked quite a bit.
I did.
Also, I thought it was okay, but it had very strong fucking production design.
And visuals, it's very saturated colors with the lighting. And like you were saying, the set designer is one of the highlights of the movies. The catacomb scene, which I'm glad they got some mileage out of it because they revisited it like three times.
The fucking
times.
National treasure scenes?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
That stuff was so incredible to me because I go, they're going to make a video game out of this because it felt very video gamey because they're now we got the key.
Feels very
now
modern.
Now we can access the further catacomb, and now we got to the part where we figure out the mystery. And it's like, these guys...
They thought this shit through.
They thought
about that more than the dialogue.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
They made some incredible sets and were like, all right, we got to get mileage out of everything. Like, we're going to make the whole thing just in this house, in these catacombs for 90 minutes. And they did it. I mean,
this isn't some over 2 hour fucking needlessly thing. It's about 90 minutes as it should be. The fucking, like you guys are mentioning the catacombs too, how the sigils like light up and all that shit is like really, really cool. But this guy, so I'm like, who is this fuck? Production design.
Amort?
No, the production designer. His name is Alan Gilmore. So he did United 93. Okay, whatever. But Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Okay. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, World War Z, X-Men First Class, Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. He's the supervising art director of The Ride at Universal Studios. Oh,
so this boy fucks.
This guy fucks with art direction and Overlord. So... like, this guy really, it made sense. If you've done, he did fucking Azkaban. Like, that movie had ridiculous, it had immaculate production design.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfonso Cuarón was responsible for some great direction, but he didn't fucking design the shit.
Yep.
You know? So, that's its secret weapon.
What do you think about this factoid? I can't remember if it was in the IMDb trivia or in the movie, but 500,000 Italians see an Exorcist every year.
I think the Italians have problems. No, I don't know. I mean, honestly, it speaks. I don't know if that's accurate or whatnot, but I believe it.
If I'm not mistaken, the Catholic Church has largely distanced themselves from exorcisms, right? Like that's not a thing that.
Well, they mentioned that in the movie, the 2% thing that are somewhat inexplicable, and I appreciate that they at least mentioned that. It speaks to what you're bringing up here. He says, the character says a lot of it is just primitive psychology and the power of suggestion and a little theater, which a lot of fucking human psychology works that way. Like, you know, on the pre-show, we were talking about Stanford prison experiment. That's power of suggestion and a little theater. It's you have a role and you respond this way.
I thought it was really interesting. They addressed and criticized some shit about the Catholic Church. I saw they even talked about like abuse allegations and everything like that. And
well, that's the new way to do it. It's the Catholic Church that's putting out the propaganda, but they have to criticize themselves so people don't think it's propaganda.
Right.
Oh,
subjugation of the expectation.
So I guess the real
subjugation of the expectation.
Damn,
so, bitch.
Father Amort in real life. Apparently,
he wrote good books.
He wrote books. They were good.
The books are good.
The books are good. He performed 70,000 exorcisms over 29 years. And I did the math. That's about 6.5
exorcisms a day.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck.
That's all.
Dude, he's running a clinic.
Maybe
dude.
He's doing gang fucking.
Yeah. He was doing exorcisms on fucking Microsoft Teams.
He walks into a nursery. He's like, exorcism completed. Yeah. Well, dude, this thing starts off crazy because he does this fake exorcism.
This was a power of suggestion one.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he's killing a pig and the whole thing, and then he goes, you know, to the Holy See, and he figures out, you know, or he deals with these like uppers in the Catholic Church and whatnot. I just love the fucking world building they're doing with the Vatican. It's crazy. And then he goes, you know, and goes and sees the Pope, and the Pope is like, dude, it's
fucking Franco Nero,
dude,
original Django.
Do your mission and come back and report to me. and it's like, and the Pope's like, go and find out what we did here. Okay, Bram Stoker, gotcha. It's fucking bonkers, man. And the fucking Pope is having a heart attack in the middle of this whole thing. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I'm sure that was based on a true story right there. that although that was going on in the catacombs and the Pope was having a fucking heart attack simultaneously.
Yeah.
Hundreds of miles away. Thousands of miles away.
Thousands. By Vespa, even.
Yeah. I agree. And then I'll say it again. The mom sucks. Most of the dialogue is trash.
The
exorcism. Okay, that's another thing too. This is like the 10,000th exorcism movie.
Correct.
And so to get any freshness out of this, like, is fucking admirable. And I think a lot of it comes from, well, it's specific to, okay, but this is the Vatican's exorcist, and so they got a good fucking they got a good template to use there.
Yeah, the mom sucks.
And this is where I get
like I fucking nope out at those parts.
This is where I get nitpicky about bullshit in these movies. I just think about this stuff and I wonder why they even bothered. So the whole deal the father dies, the husband dies.
Oh God, I don't want to get okay. Yeah, he's doing it.
And okay, so the husband dies. And the only thing that they have left is this fucking castle in Spain. Got it. Okay. So her bright fucking idea, other than just selling said castle, is to have a construction company go to the castle, start renovations, and then she travels with her children, whom she's ripped out of their lives, to supervise the fucking castle renovations, bitch. You can that shit you can do via Zoom and phone calls. What the fuck?
Has it ever occurred to you that maybe it's a subtle influence of Asmodel?
Asmodeus. Lagmodan is fucking influencing her from across the globe. Is what you're saying?
Yeah,
because
or maybe she's a bit retardando.
You know? Because of her blood ties to the castle? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Well, shit, I didn't think... Yeah, good point.
But she doesn't, though.
Good point.
The kids do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, the dad died, right? So Russell Crowe asks, did anything happen to Henry? And she goes, he was in the car accident that killed his father. He saw his father impaled. And then flashback to impaled head.
Fuck.
Can I tell you?
It's so trashy, and so it was. Yeah, it was trashy. Okay, that worked out.
Of all of the children actors that we've seen over the last decade, woo, this child is one of the worst.
What?
I could not fucking stand
him. You are the harshest child actor judge.
I cannot, and I will not abide by this child being an actor henceforth.
I'm not saying like he's great, but I mean it didn't. I mean. What do you want him to do?
Act better.
Oh.
Is that okay? Is that okay? Can I have that?
I guess a
child actor who's not.
Well, you don't hear his real you only hear garbage. Him speak like two actual lines from his own voice.
Yeah, and the dubbing was pretty good on that, right?
Yeah. You know who played the voice of the devil?
No.
The guy from The Witch.
Oh, really?
Lorath from Diablo 4.
Aha! See, they got some good.
They're doing good.
Speaking of that, they got a good pedigree with certain things. Jed Kurzel, the score. I thought the score was it wasn't great, but it was like, this is good. It's atmospheric. He did The Babadook, Jorge's favorite movie. Another great
shitty child actor.
Alien Covenant, which we have.
Man, that was fucking great. We got to clip it and rip it and throw that shit on TikTok.
Clip it and rip it and throw that shit on TikTok. Okay. Alien Covenant, which the fucking score for Alien Covenant is dope, I have to say.
One of the few things.
And he did the score for Overlord. So it seems like Julius Avery, this director, and this Jed Kurzel guy, they have a thing going on.
So what you're so with here's the thing. With all of these positive...
Well, I mean, the technical merits and stuff around it.
Here's what I'm kind of...
It's a bag of hot Cheetos with nacho cheese on it.
The point that I'm getting to is we were this close to a good movie.
Mm.
It's wild because all of the Lego pieces are here. Cinematography, good. Effects, good. Score, good.
See, you're doing good.
Some of the acting, good.
Well.
Story, okay.
Yeah.
Dialogue, So it just needed a little bit more retooling, and you've got this sort of competent movie about exorcism with
Russell
Crowe.
Part two could fucking break the mold here.
Dude, I was like, dude, all he needs to be is like an ex-boxer. Or like have a handgun and just start blasting demons, and I'll be like, "All right, we're in." Like, and be produced by James Wan.
He almost was, dude. Yeah. He's this ex-military guy,
yeah,
who
goes into the catacombs and is ripping keys out of corpses' bellies, and it's
which is fucking dope.
It's incredible.
That was like Indiana Jones, but like that was better than Dial of Destiny right there.
And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this scene, and he's telling the priest, he's like, "Yeah, go to the cage, see if it's open." I go, "He's trying to booby trap this motherfucker. He wants him to die first."
Wow, you showed up for this movie.
Oh, it was, you know, man, what can I say?
Yeah. Well, you watched it twice, right?
Yeah, because I wanted to make sure. The first time I watched it, we weren't doing it on the show yet, and so I didn't want to come in here like without a fresh watch. This was one, because there's a lot to talk about. Oh, there's a great line at one point from the kid that Jorge doesn't like.
Is it the milk?
Where is this fucking thing? Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Baby's hungry, you fat cow. You never breastfed mommy. That one?
That's good.
This he one never says, breastfed me, mommy.
Oh, and it's the Exorcist ripoff right down to his young assistant, Gabriel, in this one, right? Yeah.
Gabriel.
I'm going to fuck you, Gabriel. You'll sense yourself coming, and you'll hate yourself for the relief you feel when I fuck you.
I have that too. I'm going to fuck you.
In The Exorcist, that's just disturbing, and then let Jesus fuck you, and she's banging herself, and this is hilarious.
I like the idea that the demon's gonna fuck him to orgasm.
Yeah, and you'll feel the shame from coming when I fuck you,
because inherently, like, right, the sex, or rather the rape, shouldn't have any sort of pleasure to it, but he's like, you know what, dude, I'm gonna make you come.
You're gonna come. I'm gonna rape you, but you're gonna come.
It's fucking odious. Who decided that fucking
Asmodel, dude? Speaking of which, it's another legit part of demonology. This character Asmodel's in the fucking grimoire. In the Lesser Key of Solomon the King.
He's one of the kings.
He's one of the homies, dude. Yep. Just like fucking...
The screenwriter's so obsessed with him that this is like the second movie he's written that has to do with this demon specifically.
Well, I mean, he probably believes he's into something.
Also, if you know, if you're fucking Diablo stans like we are, all these names are very familiar because it's like Asmodan and Baal and all this stuff. So
what about Paimon, dude?
He's in there, dude.
In Diablo?
Yeah, he's in there somewhere.
That's dope.
He's fucking somewhere.
King Paimon.
He's in there fucking giving fucking dudes orgasms, and they feel shame.
With any luck. Yeah. So, oh, you mentioned the blood chick that explodes. And it's good. It's like it implies the metaphysics here, because we don't really know the rules, but it's a demon, so he can like create golems, right? Like made
blood
of
golems.
Made of blood.
Yeah.
That's fucking dope. Like, that's cool. I'm okay with that. And so I like that. I liked it when fucking the Pope's sexorcist, he got momentarily possessed.
Yeah.
And I thought Russell Crowe, he sold
possessed
that.
Face?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he sold that. He's like, fuck, I'm going to do it.
One of my favorite things is, so, you know, the whole deal with Catholicism is that, you know, you can absolve yourself of your sins by confessing, right? Mm. And so I like these aspects of they're doing these confessions, and they're like, I'm gonna admit to most of my sins, you know, everything up to and, you know, yesterday, but I'm not gonna talk about, you know, this woman that I was having sex with, right? And that's like the secret sin that the demon's like, ah, I got you, bitch.
And it goes back to that shame of coming.
Yeah, it's so great, man. It's so fucking good.
You know what? Yeah, it's all like it's in the structure.
It's
like
all about coming, dude.
Sex guilt.
Yeah.
Feel guilty, come, and feel guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome, man.
That's all Asmodel's real threat is. Like, he's going to make you come, and he's going to make you feel guilty about it.
That's
Catholicism.
Asmodan is there when you jack off and you feel like an asshole afterwards. That's him.
You still feel that way, huh? You grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
See? I would like to, I wish it could be empirically measured, right? Like objectively, who feels more guilty after coming, you or me? Because I grew up Mormon and you grew up Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I want an objective measurement. Which of us feels shittier after coming? Which one has the most fucking, you know, embedded shame? Even though they, especially too, because then it becomes like a nice fucking thing of self-hatred, because we know intellectually there's no good reason for it to exist.
Right.
But it stays.
It's still there.
It still stays.
And did you grow up religious at all?
What we're asking
is if you have jack-off guilt. That's what we really want to know.
Do you have...
Non-practicing Catholics growing up, which is funny because I was going to mention I got an email.
So a normal Catholic.
I got an email that said, happy 12-year anniversary, Reverend Jacob, because I am ordained.
Cheers, brother. Me too.
I can perform exorcisms and...
Hold up.
Yeah.
I have the fucking priesthood, though, okay? So I got up to the rank of teacher, which means that according to Joe Smith and the people, I have more authority than a Catholic priest. And I believe it, if you couldn't tell. I walk around.
And I buy into that authority 100%.
They gave that to me when I was 13, and I never fucking gave that part back. I'm like, yeah, I got fucking more
authority. You're not going to take that away from me.
Yeah. So you guys are, what? You
can ordain ministers.
You're ministers, and I have more authority than both of you.
Damn.
But can you marry yourself?
No.
So then you've got no power.
Yeah. You've got no power here.
I don't really believe, but that's what the church said. It's dope. So this is cool. Wait a minute. All of us are initiated into the Christian mystery cults.
Yeah.
In some fashion or another. That's fun. And now we are living in sin. And enmeshed in darkness.
Well, see, so here, I think my...
That's great.
Because you, when did you end your sort of religious journey?
Oh, geez.
As a child, I mean.
That's a good question. I left... God damn it, Rhett. Give a concise answer. Around 12 or 13 is when I was like, this is not going to work for me. Right? I knew that. But around 15 or 16... 15 is when I stopped going.
Okay.
Like, you couldn't get me there.
Right, right, right.
Like, you will have to beat me.
So, and he did. And they did.
And I still didn't go.
And a soup can to the head.
There's all the shit.
Yeah.
All the shit. Because you care. You care about me, so it's soup can time.
Yeah, it's soup can to the head. my mom really tried to keep me in.
Hell yeah, she did.
And I was going to various religious stuff up until I think my junior year in high school. I think I was going to like retreats and shit like that up until I think the year before I met you, the year after I met you. I was still sort of entrenched in the fucking thing, dude. It's crazy.
I kind of I don't remember that because it was about a year before, but yeah, by the time we met in 10th grade. That was kind of my first year of like getting off religion, which, you know, and it's the long and winding road.
It's been.
But yeah, once it was Rage Against the Machine, self-titled, and fucking Tool's Undertow, and I was jacking off and finger banging chicks, it's over. Sorry, guys.
Well, jacking off for me at least.
You guys, you got the wrong one.
Yeah, not the one. Yeah, Asmodeus has got full control.
Yeah, like fucking, it's full Asmodel, dude.
Well, I remember distinctly my mom buying us tickets to The Passion of the Christ. Yeah. And
great movie. Let's do that on the show.
It was, you know, and it's just this stuff. This, you know, this ultra-Catholicism stuff. It's still, I don't know.
That's why I'm glad you're open, because I know this stuff gets you.
I love the lore of it. I love the...
It's great fucking lore.
They treat it like John Wick.
I fucking love...
It's great architecture.
I love the Catholicism lore. I'm like, if I could experience it from like the outside...
Well, that's the thing. That's why they mention a little theater. A lot of this is about theatricality. And so I'm not even trying to be a dick right now. I mean, just looking at religion in general. But Catholic tropes... Their costumes, the architecture, the music.
The research headquarters, and everyone's wearing like the black hoods and like doing research. It's fucking crazy.
Well, that is crazy. And it's not that far-fetched. You know, Ronnie and I had gone to Russia fucking ages ago, and we went to go visit these Orthodox cathedrals.
Yeah.
And they have corpses of children in little glass boxes that, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
this child never, you know, she was a canonized saint because she never, her body never decomposed. And this and that, it's like, when we're talking about conspiracies and you're talking about like, there's only so much of it that can be fake, right?
Sure.
Not that I believe any of
the religious stuff, but I just really well, dig the goofiness of it. I really do.
Well, dude, if you want to look at it just as another form of human expression, like as a, for its artistic merits, you can, because it's just an interpretation of the world, right? Like it's another interpretation, but like any religion has all of the previous stuff embedded in it. Like it has a lot of pagan aspects. And I'm not saying that because paganism is the true one. What I'm saying is there's a lot more than just Catholicism in Catholicism.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot. And again, there's a lot of the architectures about harmonics. And it's about there's all sorts of shit going on besides the fucking. It's not just about taking things literally. It's about that's not why it works. It doesn't work because it's literal. It works because of its psychological effect. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
That's why they built the fucking cathedral and have the music and do the whole, they have the theatrical aspect. That's why the Mormons built the fucking spaceship looking thing in La Jolla among all the hundreds of other temples.
Yep.
You know, it's, yeah, man. The Jehovah's Witness, you said you got some family, they got to step it up. They're not going to get anywhere with those fucking little.
Yeah, they got to bump their numbers way up.
Way up. Yeah. But no, they don't because they believe only
144,000.
Yeah. So yep. They're like, fuck that.
Yeah.
In fact, most of you in the church are already fucked
because
there's a cap of people that will be saved.
Yep.
That one, I know they got some loophole for that, you know, because I know that's like the normie thing. People, can you imagine being a Jehovah's Witness and hearing that all your life? And you'd be like, no, motherfucker. Like, you know, anyway. So, yeah. So basically what you're saying, Jorge, is you want to go back to church and you love Catholicism.
True. Catholicism now.
Damn.
What do you think about this whole setup to be a franchise?
Oh, it's a sequel was announced 11 days after theatrical release.
Next movie is going to start with a fucking guitar rib. Wow! Yeah. And he's going to be like, I come to you.
It's like Fast and Furious of exorcism movies.
Yep.
Like, it can do that, right?
Yep, it could.
Yeah. No, but he goes from site to site battling specific fucking demons every time.
Dude, it's an endless well of pleasure.
The whole thing, he's fighting these fallen angels. There's 200 of them, and he gets one of them. So he's got 199 more movies to make.
They didn't even make a shitty I Am Legion thing. They just were like, you know what? We're not gonna fuck with that.
Well, he said that at the beginning, but that guy was a punk.
He just believed
he was Legion.
He was a punk ass bitch.
Yeah, he's a punk ass bitch who's like having a mental breakdown and thinks it's something spiritual because that's his belief system.
Yep.
And that's what I'm saying.
Normie ass I Am Legion shit.
Yeah, and this guy's like, okay, here I'm gonna put it in the pig, shoot the pig so he thinks it's dead. And it worked because that guy's a punk ass. He's not even a real fucking possession case.
Yeah, he's a lame ass fake possession case.
Yeah.
Lame.
Like 98% of them. Fucking cheap ass fake possessed bitch.
Watch that documentary. It's wild.
It sounds like it.
It sucked because they decided to do an exorcism on some bitch who, like, this is her sixth exorcism. So it was like,
it's a habit.
And they edited in, like, they voice modulated her thing in post so she sounded like a Call of Duty Nazi zombie. Like,
it was fucking awful.
It was, dude, the documentary is nuts, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's free with ads somewhere. I forgot where I watched. I think it was like Plex, but.
Yeah. When you talk about the, like, the franchise thing, which is pretty much inevitable at this point, they already announced a sequel and.
It's inevitable.
It is inevitable. I go back to what Jorge said. They almost had an actually good movie here. So it's possible they could really tighten the screws in the second one and they could.
What do you want them to do? Like more serious, like good? Or you want them to lean into the shit?
It comes into... No, to me, that stuff's fine. All it was really missing was tighter dialogue, tighter plot.
Yeah.
It's a formulaic plot.
And also, I'm sorry, but have a likable family that's been
possessed. That's what, yeah.
This family was unbelievably unlikable.
Well, and also, like, it's, and the thing is, too, again, because there's so many exorcism movies, you have an opportunity to get away from, like, because of its uniqueness about its premise, like, it's, you gotta try extra hard not for it to get formulaic. So the best way you can do that is who's fucking possessed.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying?
Or each demon. Like, each demon can be a unique type of possession, would be pretty fucking.
And cool. they could develop those fucking relationships at the Vatican further too. He's got allies there and he's got people that don't like him there. And now we could do, you know what? This could be an ongoing series. This could be, no, I'm just kidding.
No. But yeah.
To Pope's Exorcism, Dial of Destiny.
Yeah, like fucking Game of Thrones, but Vatican style.
It was Russell Crowe's idea to ride a Vespa.
It's fucking, you found that out?
Yeah.
That
why wouldn't he? I mean, he's very Italiano.
I guess.
But this motherfucker...
But apparently he rides a Vespa for how many fucking miles?
1,200 miles at least.
Because he starts where and
he starts where? He starts in Rome, or at the Vatican, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He starts at the Vatican, and he fucking goes... He hears about this fucking possession. He hops on his Vespa, and a month later, I think he shows up. It's fucking crazy. Well, and even you were like, well, why are they fucking speaking Spanish? And it's like, well, it's in Spain. And you're like, but he rode a Vespa. How could it be in Spain? And I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah, man. It's fucking Spain. Well, I mean, you know, you have these fucking construction workers who are named Jose and Alberto. Yeah. It's crazy. And these, you know, they would be okay working in shitty conditions. If they got somebody got blown up, more money for the split. Fuck them. He did.
Yeah, you're right. You're passionate about
Mexican that. Guys, they wouldn't give a fuck. They'd be in there like, orale.
Yeah, catacombs breathing fire.
Speaking of which... See, this is another. It's an opportunity.
Echale fuego, mijo.
Shoot on location, other places. Like this one did in Italy and Spain. They got to go some other places.
Dude.
You gotta go.
You could ride a Vespa to fucking Germany.
This is the John Wick of exorcism movies.
That's dude. It's a fucking opportunity. Oh
fuck! And then they start
and Russell Crowe's like, fuck yeah! I found my late stage franchise.
And then they fucking go to like different cities and it's like different churches and they have like. Coin he uses,
yeah.
He's like, fuck, one room in this hotel, please.
It is world building. They could do a crossover between the Equalizer, John Wick, and the fucking Pope's Exorcist.
There you go. Well, and then you know the next demon wouldn't be about giving orgasms. It'd be some other cool kooky thing.
Like what?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll come. Yeah, we'll think about that.
It'd be some other type of coming, not of the dick sort.
So. This is the beginning of a lead up to, at the end of this month, doing Talk to Me, the new A24 release that involves possession of some sort. But in the next one, we were going to do this fucking Insidious movie, but fuck that movie. And it'll be irrelevant by the time this comes
out.
So, do you guys still want to do, I know we're still recording, but fuck it, we'll do it live.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about, we've done this, let's do Devil's Advocate next.
Down.
Devil's Advocate and Talk to Me and then some other one.
And then we'll see what's going on after that.
I'm down.
Sounds dope.
All right.
So cool. next week is going to be Devil's Advocate 1997. That one is available on Netflix. I don't know if there's a fucking paywall for it. If there's a paywall for Devil's Advocate, that fucking sucks.
Somebody fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, you know what, dude? Devil's Advocate, it's worth the $2.
Greater! That's in heat, but there's going to be all sorts of that shit.
It's in every Al Pacino.
Yeah.
All right, idiots. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 389. I hope you've enjoyed your time with us tonight or... during your drive or whatever you're doing. If you're having intercourse with a demon and he's going to make you come.
And you're going to feel bad about it.
And you're going to feel shitty about it. You know what? Throw us on in the background. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Ree.
This is Jacob.
Bye, idiots.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive. Never get out of this world alive.